All right, well, let me go ahead and read the passage. We're in Ephesians chapter 2 and 1 to 10. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Okay, I just wanted to say that this observation phase that we're in right now is for your own personal study. You know, we're going to be going through a lot of things and putting up a lot of information, and naturally, if you were teaching this passage, you wouldn't give all of these observations, but you would use this to prepare your own heart and prepare your own study. Don has passed out a handout where he put the verses in, sorted them by phrases. How is this helpful? Yes.
Yeah, Paul's sentences can get pretty long.
Yeah, actually, these 1 to 10 is one sentence in the original. So by laying it out like this, you're able to see different phrases and better see the meaning. And it helps to see, all right, this phrase goes with this part of the verse, and it helps you see. In fact, you can also take, like that handouts that you have. In fact, we're going to pass this out here at the end. But you can take and use different colored pencils to kind of mark and see, all right, he's repeating the same word in this section, and it just helps to be able to get a better idea of the passage and the meaning. And that's why sometimes you might be reading along and you think, this verse really goes with the previous chapter, or these couple of verses at the end of the chapter really go with the next chapter. Like, in just to go down a real quick rabbit trail, go to John chapter 2 and verse 24. Well, I'll start at 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. And then verse 1 of chapter 3, now there was a man, and you see how the last paragraph of chapter 2 is closely tied with chapter 3, and probably should have moved the chapter up to before verse 23. So, you know, you can, in your study, you can look and, you know, like this ESV version that I'm using right here is divided up into paragraphs, but sometimes you may think, does this verse really go with this? And you can sometimes even change it because the paragraphs and the verses are not inspired, the numbering. But getting back to what gives us a hint that verses 1 to 10 is a paragraph? Okay, and what are some of the ideas? What is the...
Well, like, oh, disastrous.
Yes?
Yeah, the big idea is grace.
Okay. Grace. There is grace involved here. Yes, definitely about grace. But there's one other marker that shows that this is a paragraph. Notice in verse 1, we have the word walked. And then in verse 10 at the end, we have walked too. So we see that there's a walk in both the beginning of the passage and also at the end of the passage. Yes. 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 Verse 1, and you were dead in the trespasses and sin in which you once walked. Now, yeah, some versions have live or, yeah.
I tried to call you, but you were in the ransom.
Okay. Let's go back on the course. But, you know, going back to context, you know that like of chapter 1, 3 to 14, talking about the praise of his grace. You know, that's repeated a number of times. And so now, after he thanks God in the prayer of the second half, now he starts talking about that grace. But now, this paragraph in 1 to 10, it can also be divided up into two parts, two subsections. What are the two subsections that this paragraph can be divided up into?
Well, one thing it talks about, I don't know if it's death.
Okay.
Death and life.
Death and life.
Okay, where's the break?
Verse 4.
And why do you say that?
Well, because he begins to
pray. Okay.
Before it was talking.
So, you know, all of mankind is included in this section. Both Jews and Gentiles. We kind of covered how did we walk, how did we live. We put that we followed the world, we followed the prince of the power of the air, and we followed the spirit that is work in the sons of disobedience. And then what when it says children of wrath, what is that meaning? I guess using different translations is probably confusing us, but in ESV, when it says children of wrath, it means children who deserve wrath, you know, who are going to receive wrath. In verse 3, how did it say we lived in verse 3?
You've got that repetition again.
Okay, we lived according to, you know, like in this, the NIV, it says gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts, whereas the ESV says passions of our flesh and carried out the desires of the flesh and mind. So how would you summarize this section then?
Negative.
Sorry?
Very negative.
Very, very negative. What are some phrases that you can use to summarize this first three verses? Hopeless, okay, good. Undeserving, good. Yes. Deserving death. If you are into zombies, you can say that we were the walking dead.
Where was the business about walk?
In verse 2, where the NIV says used to live, okay. but the ESV has you were walking.
You followed the idea of walking.
Yeah.
Live the walking dead.
Right. Dead in sin, walking in sin, the walking dead. So, anything else in this section here that we need to look at? John, do you have anything that we missed here?
No, nothing other than the fact that you heard about the word, what is it, the world, the flesh and the devil, the ways of the world, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in you, that's the devil, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires. The world, the flesh, and the devil. That's the enemy. That's what we by nature do. And that leads us to condemnation, wrath. We're dead. What did you mean by dead? Are you dead?
Hopeless.
You're hopeless. What happened? What do you mean by dead? That's good.
Non-eternal.
Non-eternal. You're dead as far as God is concerned, yeah, because you don't have any relationship to Him. Yeah. No power from Him, no relationship to Him. You're dead.
Yes. Everybody, all of us. Okay. In verses 4 to 10, there's a change of subject. 1 to 3 was you, us. What is the subject now in verses 4 to 10?
God.
God, right. And how is God characterized? Yeah, there's a real sharp contrast here and when we move into verse 4. Okay, how is God characterized in this section? Okay, good. Great love and rich in mercy. And who are the objects of His love?
Us.
Okay, so there's a series of verbs here that God does. What are the things that God does? Made us alive. Good. Raised us up, seated us with Him in the heavenly places, saved us. Okay, good. And what was the purpose of God's activity here? Okay, good. That God would show the immeasurable riches of His grace. Okay, that's right. In verses 5 and 8, there's a phrase here that's repeated. What is that, the phrase? Okay, good. By grace you've been saved. Go ahead.
We were dead. We were condemned. So we have been made alive. We have been raised up, resurrected. We have been seated in the heavenlies.
Yes, I was going to ask about that. No, good. What are all these activities done in? If I had to say, all of God's actions are done in, fill in the blank now. Good, Joy. In Christ Jesus. No, go ahead.
what's this relationship to 4 to 10?
Julie, going back to your question about righteousness, let me just read you 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. So there's Christ takes our sin, and then we receive Christ's righteousness. Okay, so going back to the phrase, by grace you've been saved, that's been repeated in verses 5 and 8. Why do you think He does that? What is He trying to accomplish? He's emphasizing, He's putting like a bracket around and saying, here, look at this. This is what God has done. Okay, so just to summarize here on these three phrases that says, this is not your doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works. It shows us what part we have in this. It's all of God. And the results are that no one can boast. Now, we go to we go to verse 10 here. What is the four there? What is the four showing? I'm sorry? Yes, it is. It wouldn't be a preposition. You're right. You're not. It's not a preposition.
It's not a preposition.
There's some kind of
adverb. It's a conjunction. Substitute another word for it.
No, I was just going to say our time is getting away from us, and Don has a little something else to tell us about next week. But quickly, how do we summarize this section here? What phrase do you think would kind of capture, or a couple of phrases would capture this section here? Okay, by grace you've been saved. Good. Yes, God's gracious gift, God's work of salvation. We're alive in Christ. Yes. So if we kind of summarize this, we could say that we were once dead in sins, but God made us alive in Christ by His grace to walk in good works.